That was a clip from Kazuko Hoki's contribution to a new series of audio download podcasts called Everyday Moments, which is being produced by Fuel Theatre and is available on their website, www.fueltheatre.com. I'm with its two co-founders, joint artistic directors, producers, leading lights, Kate McGrath and Louise Blackwell. And before we kind of move into talking in general about Fuel and its work and its mission, maybe the best way of doing that is actually to start with the most recent release, which is this Everyday Moments podcast series. And it's coming out once a month, every 20th of the month, is that right? So can you just explain what was the motivation for doing work in this field? Because you're not known for that, are you?
Well, we are interested in kind of creating work by artists that can reach lots of different audiences. So really we've been thinking about how the work that we make can be seen and heard by lots more people. And obviously the internet is a kind of massive way of distributing new ideas. And so we had, Kate and I spend a bit of time every now and again kind of dreaming about ideas, and we had this idea quite a while back now, sitting in a park somewhere, I seem to remember, where we wanted to kind of create art events that can intervene in people's everyday lives, that it's about people not having to make the effort to go somewhere in order to kind of get a cultural experience. And sort of that's where the Everyday Moments idea came from. And so we had, you know, the kind of structure about it being, the kind of proposal that we made to the artists was about thinking of an idea that can be listened to at a specific time of day and in a specific place. And so we asked a kind of 12 different artists that we wanted to, that we were excited by, to come up with some ideas, and it was just really exciting kind of getting their initial proposals and talking to them about how that idea would develop.
Okay. Was your inclination immediately audio, or were there other forms that you considered in terms of this sort of digital culture?
Yeah, well, initially we were interested in podcasting. I guess we had an interest in radio anyway from beforehand, and we're thinking about what the podcast kind of form could offer. I think we have an interest in work which embraces all the senses, I suppose. So quite a lot of the work that we make is very visual, very oral. We work with a lot of sound designers and composers over the years, and we noticed that there was a sort of growing richness in the sound world of the work that people we admired were creating. And so we thought that would be an interesting initial project to explore in the digital sphere, so people could download something to listen to on their phones or their iPods or whatever on their computers. And I think that connection with kind of interesting sound artists was I suppose the starting point. In fact, we've commissioned 12 very different artists, so some of them are composers and sound designers, but many of them are not. They are writers, poets, performance artists, all sorts of different people. But yeah, I think in the future we'd be interested in exploring different kind of digital art forms as well, but this seems like a good place to start.
You know, we talk about theatre makers, but actually we're interested in brilliant artists and bringing, you know, and that kind of people that have a connection with an audience and will have something to say to an audience, basically. So it doesn't really matter whether they're a writer or a designer, or, you know, one of the things that we do is kind of bring interesting collaborations together in order to make a piece of work. And obviously this one is a series, so the kind of, we're interested in what happens about, you know, when people see the 12, listen to the 12 all together, and there's a kind of sense of all the different types of artists that we work with.
We want to, you know, we're not the artists, but we're engaged in the process of trying to help them do the best work they can, so, and also to connect that work with its audience. So I guess we want to get the balance right between being responsive to brilliant artists and brilliant ideas, and provoking them to kind of push those ideas further and stretch their ambitions and so on. So in this instance, we gave everyone the same kind of initial provocation, which was about the theme of Everyday Moments, and asked them to think about a podcast for up to 10 minutes, which would be designed to be listened to at a particular time in a particular place. And we didn't really say much more than that, and so they came back with really, really different kinds of ideas, which was fantastic because I guess depending on their particular view of the world, their background, their art form, they responded to that provocation really differently. And then we spent some time talking about what we thought might help that idea. So, for example, with Lem Cisse, he came up with an idea which initially was about his writing and text and his voice, and we talked to him about whether that would have a sort of musical element as well. So it's that kind of dialogue, really. It's a sort of to-ing and fro-ing to see where we get to.
Yeah. Let's just quickly listen to a clip of Lem Cisse.
Every day living, drip. Every day I give in, drop. Every day I wake up, drip. To a new beginning, drop. Climate, drip. Change, drop. Climate, drip. Change, drop. Primal, drip. Drain, drop, drop. Final drip, brain, drop, drop. Climate, tick, change, talk.
The other interesting thing about the process in this is that we kind of have our initial meetings after the first provocation and kind of talk about the ideas and see where they might go. And then, of course, there's the moment of recording in the studio with the brilliant people at Roundhouse that have been helping us. And so that when something is put down on kind of, you know, digitally and you can listen to it, then there's another kind of process of going, okay, so what else might this need at this stage? And there's a kind of next stage of the dialogue after something is actually kind of fixed. And what's brilliant is that, of course, you know, it isn't in the moment. You can change it until, obviously, then it's, you know, released and then that's that.
Let's have one final snippet, which is Peggy Shaw's contribution, and she is going to be fully downloadable from April.
My memory is specific and moment by moment. I feel like it's my job to remember. Not sleeping, I pretend I'm getting up early. Makes me feel like I remember things other people don't know. When I walk by a harbor, well, not a harbor, a dock, I feel like I've spent a lot of time working there. I feel a pull. Like if I focused hard, I could remember the details rather than just the feeling.
I wonder whether the audience you've got in mind for this is quite young. Some of the artists are obviously actually quite mature, shall we say, and they've obviously, to some extent, are getting familiar with this technology in a direct way for maybe the first time at some levels. Is the iPod generation, we talk about the iPod generation, but I mean, is that very much the generation that's most open to these rather sort of hyperlinked kind of connective forms of performance, do you think?
I think it's probably for us partly about reaching that younger audience, and we've partnered with Roundhouse Radio, which is a youth-led radio station, to create the podcast. So, and I think you're right that generation is very at ease with, you know, the idea of downloading a podcast and listening to it. I think it's also for us interesting to try and think about how we can make that as easy and as accessible for anyone to find. So on our website, you do literally just click on a big play button and you can just play it there and then, or you can download it if you want to, but it doesn't have to, you know, hopefully it won't exclude anyone who's...
And we're hoping that because of the artists that we've chosen to work with, you know, there's an audience that comes along with them as well that are used to their kind of live work, and we're hoping that that will then start to cross fertilize, you know, across the with the podcast idea. So,
I suppose if I was Dragon's Den boss, what I'd say is how do you make this new form of theatre pay its way?
Yeah, well, like you say, this is an experiment for us, and the idea is that the first year it's free. See how it goes. We want to monitor kind of how many hits we get and all that kind of stuff. And we're thinking that possibly at the end of the year that the series might be available to buy from iTunes. So there's one very simple way that at the end of the year then they're not free anymore. But it's an ongoing experiment really. We're seeing how this one goes, and then we aim to kind of have another series in 2012 and 2013 with a different kind of concept. So it's possible that the pricing structure might change.
It's also really important to find ways of opening up the kind of work that we do to new audiences in order that they might then also come and see other things which aren't free. So completely different sort of scale and shape of project, but when we did Electric Hotel last year, when we toured that to Norwich and Brighton and Stockton, it was free, and that was also about bringing audiences who might not otherwise take the risk to see something of ours, and hopefully they'll come back and see other things in the future which might not be free.
I think it's made
that first step.
Trying to kind of break down the barriers of actually having to physically, you know, go through a theatre door, you know, a building that you're not familiar with. You know, this idea is one in a range of ideas that we're kind of making, that is about trying to get new people to experience the kind of work that we make.
Mm.
We Kate and I met at BAC when we were in the producing department there, when Tom Morris was the artistic director. And we were part of the kind of generation of producers at BAC that developed the Scratch programme, which is about seeing work in development at an early stage and then feeding back for audiences, that is. And also part of a kind of supported artist scheme that was about identifying artists of vision and then giving them some support, like free rehearsal space, commissioning money. And we got to a point in our jobs at BAC where we wanted to kind of support those artists outside of the confines of the BAC building and the audiences that could see that work there. So we wanted to take brilliant work and help it to be seen by millions of people. And so some of the artists that we were working with at BAC then, we asked if they would be interested in coming to work with us, and crucially we were offered via BAC a bursary from the Gerwood Charitable Foundation so that we could kind of jack in our jobs without and still be able to pay our rent, which was a kind of very important stepping stone for us. So we kind of left and BAC offered us support of the office space here, and it all kind of grew from there really.
Felt at that time that there was a growing interest in the kind of work that that we're interested in, that the artists that we work with were making, which is more visual, more experimental, but in an accessible way, I suppose. And that there was beginning to be some demand from venues around the UK and internationally for that work, and that the artists, as they sort of emerged through that process, were really in need of producing support to be able to grow their work and sort of deliver on their potential. So it all felt very natural, and I guess we had formed relationships with those artists anyway that kind of were developing, and we wanted to continue on that journey with them. And since then we've started working with a number of other artists. And I think what they have in common, really, because we try to be very open about what we do, but what they have in common is that they are all they all have a sort of unique perspective on the world, and the capacity, the ability to convey that to an audience in a kind of inspiring and intriguing way. So it's all very new. What we're looking for is kind of original voices. And people that have the articulacy, I suppose, in whatever form, not necessarily text, but in whatever form, to convey their ideas to an audience. And I guess that there has perhaps been an assumption in the past that experimental work is kind of inaccessible and niche. And I think the sort of work that we're interested in is both testing the boundaries of between art forms and in terms of the audience artist relationship, but is also incredibly accessible. In fact, that relationship with the audience is what makes it so accessible. So we're trying to change those perceptions, really, so that audiences will come and see new work by new artists and not feel that it's going to be inaccessible and off-putting somehow.
Mm. We're hoping to get to a point, or we're constantly trying to kind of find a way that we can build trust from an audience, so that people, if it's a project that is produced by Fuel, there's a kind of stamp of quality or trust in us that they might, it might not be you know, something that they would have thought of going to see or listening to, but because we're involved, there's a kind of okay, we'll give it a go sense, and you know, we're that's what we want to do.
And I suppose finally, everyone keeps talking about cuts, 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 and the kind of gloom merchants fear the very worst for the arts. What do you feel? Do you feel optimistic, pessimistic? Kind of, in a total moment of limbo? What's the feeling?
You know, we as producers constantly have to find different ways of raising money, and so we've been going for 6 years, and we can't ever rely on one source of funding. And yes, it's an incredibly difficult time, and you know, the value of subsidy, as we were saying earlier, is crucial. There has to be that support, otherwise the whole arts infrastructure will crumble. But you know, we get on with it, and you've got to kind of keep on going and keeping these ideas and talking about the ideas with artists and making them happen. I just think it's in our nature that we will continue to do what we do, whatever the weather, as it were.
Couldn't put it better myself.
Thank you very much, Kate McGrath and Louise Blackwell.